Family, welcome to the Now Network. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Women, The Now Network presents Women Speak Now and Be Heard, hosted by Minister Michelle Taylor.
Can't help but praise them, can't help but praise them, can't help but praise them. Hallelujah is the highest praise. Amen. Welcome, welcome to Women Speak Now. I'm your host, Minister Michelle. Thank you for joining me, listening audience. You are loved and appreciated. And most importantly, you are loved by the Most High God, the only true and living God. Women Speak Now is for all women, believers and non-believers, seeking an environment of love, empowerment, and trust, coming together as one in Christ. Men, you are always, always welcome into this atmosphere of love. Women Speak Now is dedicated to real talk, real issues with real godly solutions. Proverbs 12:19, the lip of truth shall be established. same time is but for a moment. Please continue to like us on our Facebook page, Women Speak Now, and thank you to everyone that's already had the opportunity to do so. You are truly appreciated. This broadcast is for you, our listening audience, to get involved in the conversation. You can give us your own topics. Yes, your topics, the ones you want to have discussed here, please give them to us directly on our Facebook page, Women Speak Now, as well as through Pastor E, the CEO and founder of this awesome, fantastic network, the Now Network, or myself. A special thank you to Pastor E for allowing me to be your host here on Women Speak Now. Please know that you are truly, truly appreciated. Now, listeners, we invite you to press 1 at the end of this conversation to get involved. And we all have something to say. Yes, we do. We all have something valuable. We all have something to say. We need to hear from one another. So don't be shy. We welcome you to speak now and be heard. Let us pray. Father, we come into your presence on tonight, Lord, just with a praise, Father God, with a thankful heart, Lord. Just saying thank you, Father God, for waking us up this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father, for another day of grace and mercy. Oh, Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this atmosphere on tonight. Please order our steps. Guide our words, Holy Spirit. Speak through us on this broadcast and use us as a vessel. So all those who want to share, all those who are listening, that we will speak words of encouragement, words of empowerment, words of healing, words that build up and not tear down, words of peace and words of love. We love you, Lord, and we say bless your holy name. Amen. Well, I am excited to be back with you on tonight, and I pray that your week has thus far been both positive and productive. And I just want to say that God loves you with everlasting love. Yes, he does. Amen. So tonight we have an awesome panel discussion set up for you on tonight. We have some really good questions, and I'm looking forward to the answers, and I'm definitely looking forward to the end when you are going to press 1 and get involved in this conversation. So our panel on tonight, we've had, well, first of all, this whole panel discussion came about by Sister Wanda Collins, who's also a member of the same church. We attend the same church along with her mother, which you already know, Minister Annie Collins, who's been on here. Women Speak Now as well on the Now Network several occasions. And they presented me with this idea to kind of talk about some of the things that younger people are kind of thinking about. Some of the topics we kind of talked about here on Women Speak Now and some of them we haven't. So I was like, oh, this is great for a panel discussion. Well, Sister Wanda is in Mississippi. She's going to graduation, so she's trying to call in. And then Christiana also will be calling in as well. But tonight, you know, the Lord always has a ram in the bush, and so we have Minister Terry, who has so humbly agreed, so graciously, to come on in and be on my panel. So I want to welcome her in on tonight to bring her in, and we're going to get into these topics. We're going to speak on it, and we're going to have a good time. So welcome, welcome, Minister Terry. God bless you, my beautiful sister.
God bless you, beautiful sister and family and the listeners, Pastor E, and all the Now Network family. And I am just grateful, and I am pleased to be here. I love you, sister.
I love you, too, and amen. Well, you know, they brought these good questions up, and I was like, you know what? These are some really good questions. Let's just put it into a panel discussion. Let's get everybody involved, and let's. So we're just going to go ahead and speak on it on tonight. So
Minister
our topic number one. Yeah.
I want to try something. I see Pastor Dwayne is on the line. If his wife is available, you may have another panel member. Let's see, for and
oh,
then we can really
good.
Get we can really get out the box. Then let me call the man of God.
Okay,
Pastor Dwayne. Pastor Dwayne. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, hold on. I got to do one thing. Pastor Dwayne.
Yeah, could you hear me?
Yeah, I can. I can hear you now. Like I told you, I'm working with two. Look, I done put two different networks together to make this thing work. Woo, get some work. But is your wife available tonight?
I think she's on the line.
Is that the okay? Okay. Well, hold on. Let me mute you and get her in. Tell me her first name again. Yeah, 3108 number.
Ann.
Ann. Okay. Minister Ann, this is Pastor E. Welcome to Women Speak Now. I want to introduce you to the host of this particular broadcast tonight, Minister Michelle Taylor. This is Pastor Dwayne's beautiful wife, Minister Ann. Let's be a little bit let's be spontaneous and bring her into this panel also.
Awesome, awesome. Amen. Well, welcome, woman of God. And I'm going to call you Pastor Ann, if you don't mind, because you are a co-pastor with your husband. So welcome, Pastor Ann. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless
okay,
you.
I'm off.
So we are having a panel discussion on tonight. And so the questions we have, I think, four different topics, and there's no right or wrong answer. The questions were presented to me by two young ladies at my church, and they wanted to get a variety of answers on these questions. So I think this will be a good balance. We could just chime in and just discuss it and give our opinions on it. And one of them may be calling in before 7 as well. But our first topic on tonight, and it was a question that we presented here before on Women Speak Now, so this will be from a different perspective. It's the same question, but it's worded a little differently. Before we had asked, can you be a Christian and have fun? Can a Christian be a Christian and have fun? But on tonight, the question is, on topic number one, is can you be a Christian and still be cool? Can you be a Christian and still be cool, be hip, et cetera? That's the first topic. So if they want to know, can you be a Christian and still be cool? Is that possible? Anybody chime right in? You'd like me to go first?
Amen. Amen, family. Amen. So I'm going to speak on it. Yes, we can be a Christian, and we can be cool, because when you're real with God and real with Jesus Christ, you're real with others. So we're not here to join in with the crowd, and we're not here to just, you know, change people. But I'm telling you, you can be cool, you can be yourself and love Jesus, and the crowd will come to you. They'll draw to you from what they see. They'll see that change that's occurring within you. So we can still be real and be hip too. Because, you know, if we're hip from the beginning, we'll be hip till the end. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. I like that answer. That's a good answer, Minister Terry. Amen. Well, how about you, Pastor Ann? What do you think? Can you be a Christian and still be cool?
Praise the Lord. Yes, I think you can be a. Well, I'm going to say I'm a Christian and I'm still cool. It's more about being, it's what you consider of being cool. Even when I was in the world, you can still be, you know, you still have to have your standards. And, you know, what I consider being cool is I'm a friendly and I'm an approachable person. And, you know, I treat people how I want to be treated. And then by doing that and, you know, not being overbearing with people and just loving them will draw people and make them want to be around you.
Amen.
Awesome. Amen.
That's a really good question, especially for you to come in and not even have the questions beforehand. That was an excellent, excellent answer. I like that. You know, and you do have to have a standard, and you have to be approachable, and the way you treat people is very important. And I'll just add in my notes, I had already had them pre-made, but I was saying, yes, you can, because it is cool to be a Christian. For some reason, people think that you come to Christ and then all of a sudden you cool, but when you come to Christ, you get uncool. I don't know what that's about, or like you lose your coolness, you know. When God calls
is this an open discussion on this question?
Sure. Come
do I need to change my voice?
I have a caller.
No, no. When you came out with this, I was about to say, look, let me answer that right now. No, I am the answer to that question. No, I'm cool, because just with the what Pastor Ann said, approachable and cool. But, you know, it's another little swag to it. Nothing wrong with having a swag. But having the principles and the standards, you know, I practice it. I am cool as a pastor and whatever position he puts me in, because I'm trying to reach people where they are. That's what cool is to me. When you're reaching people where they are, and they feel like you're a part of them, but you aren't a part of them. You're in the world, but not of the world. That's cool.
That is cool. I call it the CC, Christian cool. That's right. And you know what? I like to tell, you know, when I was thinking about the question, I'm like, you know, it's just a trick of the enemy. He always makes you think that whatever the world is doing is more fun than what we're doing as Christian, which is just always his. That's, he's just delusional, and he likes to deceive the world. So it's just a deception. If you really could see what sin looked like from your spiritual eyes, you'd be like, oh, that is so ugly. It's horrible. You know, you would know that it wasn't true. But when you're blinded by what he's making, you know, he likes to dress it up and put a bow on it and make it look more than what it really is. But it ain't none of that, okay? And once you come out of it and you're no longer doing that thing, you'll be like, I can't believe I thought that was my cool. But that's his job, is to make it seem like it's cool. But it ain't really cool, okay? Because what's really cool is being a Christian, because the Christians are really the movers and the shakers. That wasn't even in my notes. The Christians are the movers and the shakers.
Oh, you say you got that in your notes, huh?
No, that wasn't even in my notes, actually. That wasn't even in my notes.
And that's so true. That's so true. But if, you know, just to say this, to just tap in what you just said there, the Bible says that God, all things were made by him, through him, and for his good purpose. Now, even though the enemy has taken it and distorted it, cool was God. That if he created
that's
everything.
Right.
So we got to take back and give it and get it back into its original position, that people say, oh, that's what you mean by cool? Not sagging, not doing what the world is saying doing, but understand that cool is being in a place of the coolness, to have that peace to draw people in.
He was so cool, Pastor E, to piggyback on what you're saying. God was so cool. Guess who wanted to imitate him? Guess who wanted to be him because he was so cool? Satan wanted to be him because that's how cool he is, okay?
That's how cool he is.
You want to be down with him. That's right. Exactly. You don't try to imitate somebody who you don't think is cool. So that's just how cool he was, and that's how cool he is, and that's how cool he will be, because he is the great I am. He's the beginning
the same
and the
yesterday,
end. He's the
cool yesterday,
the,
cool today, and cool forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Anybody now? Do you want to open it up on each question?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay, well, so if somebody else wants to get involved in this conversation, I know. Since the men and women are talking together tonight, we're just getting warmed up for next week for the collaboration. Pastor Dwayne, can you be cool and be a pastor?
Oh yeah, man. That's why he said be spiritual and natural. Be spiritual and natural. He said, you know, be spiritual and natural. You got to be cool. I mean, you know, like you say, you got to have a little swag in it, but, you know, we're not trying to imitate the world, though. We got our own coolness, not like the world coolness, our own coolness. You know, so when we swag with a purpose. We don't just be swagging with our, you know, we ain't cool with our pants sagging down or nothing like that. No, we cool with the word. You know, he said be spiritual and natural, right? So I got to be both ways. I can't be too spiritual where I can't be natural. No, I mean, you can't always get to heaven.
Well, it's called balance. It's called balance.
Yeah, you got to be balanced. So when you're outside of the walls, you're out in these churches, you're out in these streets, you know, you say, Paul said, when I was in Rome, I became a Rome. When I was in Egypt, I became an Egypt. So when I'm off the pulpit, when I'm out here on these streets, each way I go, it's a pulpit. But I'm cool. What kind of cool I am? I'm the type of cool that somebody can be common with me. You know, they're not looking at me, oh, he all listening. No, they're looking at me like he on common ground. Because Jesus always was on common ground. So it'll make a difference. How you are, how high you was, how middle you was, how between you was, and how down you was. Jesus was all that. So, yeah, you can be cool.
Well,
of course you can be cool.
Yeah, you touch on that, but you know, he was in them places, but he made every place that he was, if you study of all the rural areas that he was in, he made it better. They didn't have no food, he produced.
Made it better.
They didn't have no wine, he produced. Wherever he was at, he always produced. That's cool. Area code 323-2161. You're live on Women Speak Now.
Good afternoon, men and women of God.
Hey, Minister Carolyn.
Here I am, Pastor. How are you?
God bless you. Man.
How's everyone? I'm blessed.
Cool.
I just
cool.
wanted to say, yes, you can be cool, because I'm cool.
Amen.
I just, I just take it down to their level. And just minister, I call it minister with a twist of their life mixed with the word of God. You know, you have to come at them with the word, but say it to where they understand it. And, you know, I know how to laugh and talk and be a part of without being ghetto and worldly. So, yes, I think you can be cool.
Amen. I even think it's a need to be ghetto and to be whatever, whatever the terms you want to use, because ghetto is always defined by the person that's using it. But I think it's a purpose for that as well. You got to meet people where they're at, you know. So,
right.
If that's the kind of language you have to speak so they can understand, that's okay, because there is no correct way to spread the gospel. You just make sure that we're preaching it. So as long as we're preaching it, we're preaching it. However they are going to receive it, then that's how I want to deliver it, you know. And so you just have to know your group and know your audience. I don't think there's anything wrong with that either.
Yeah.
Well, you know, see, when in the church you can't be cool because then they say something's wrong with you. But in the streets, you got to be cool because they're going to say something's wrong if you're not. So it's when you meet
balance.
People where they are, it's like where you feel like you belong. When I'm out there on Long Beach Boulevard, when I'm on Rosecrans and in other deeper areas of L.A. and the places that God sends us to minister, they don't look at it like, oh, here he could. They feel like I belong there because I do. I'm just like them. I just elevated a little faster. But to still be
cool. I'm bilingual. I say I'm bilingual because I can speak proper English and I can speak slang.
Oh, yeah. I could go there. Minister Michelle, I really be tuning it up on the broadcast.
Right?
But when I'm out there, you'd be like, oh, what you doing, Pastor E? No. That's just being cool. Yeah. Hey, man, let me get out of there.
Exactly. Hey, man. But you know
question
what?
Two.
It's great that you guys said that, because it does take us to question two, which is, how do you balance being cool and hip but not lose your Christian reputation? So they want to know, like, how do you fit in with your unsaved friends without making them feel like you're judging them or making them feel bad about whatever it is that they're doing, you know? So how do you balance that, being a Christian, being cool, but not losing your – you don't want to be so cool where they don't know you're a Christian. You don't want to be too churchy when they don't want to hear what you got to say. So how do you balance that? That's the next question.
Man, should have been talking about this on the collab, because I got answers for all these things. But before you go, right before you started question two, Evangelist Virginia Valentine dialed one to come in. I believe she wanted to respond on question one. Evangelist Virginia,
awesome.
Welcome to Women Speak Now.
Yes, welcome, Mighty Woman of God. Good evening, Woman of God. Good evening, Minister Michelle, and all the ladies, all the ministers that is on the line tonight.
Good evening.
God bless you.
Good evening. Good evening. And good
God
evening
bless
to you.
We love you.
We love you. I love you all. Oh, I
love you too.
Can you be a Christian and still be cool? My answer is yeah, I know I'm cool.
That's right. Amen.
I know I am cool.
Speak on
you it. Know why? Because
why?
I know how to text. I know how to carry myself.
All right.
Amen.
I watch my character.
Praise God.
I watch what I say.
Amen.
How I say. And what I do. And you know what? And I don't want anything to affect my witness for God.
Amen.
So you can ruin your witness with God. If you be too cool.
That's true.
Just be cool. Just be cool and be yourself. And I heard the man of God saying something about when he out or something like that. I can't remember.
Be
but
serious.
I thought about Paul. I thought about the Apostle Paul. When he said, I became all things to all men to win some. Paul didn't get out there and do what they did. But Paul got there low. What he did, if they had their cap on backwards, he had his on backwards. If they had on their jeans, he was dressed just like her, but he didn't do what they did. He was out there to win up to Christ. He said, I became all things to all men, so we in front.
Yes.
Yes. We can
yes.
be a Christian and have fun.
Yes, we can.
Amen.
Just like you go to a football game. You make sure Jesus is with you. You got to watch how you carry yourself at those games. Because the Bible says we're in the world, but we are not of the world.
Yeah.
in the world, but we're not of the world. Watch your witness. Watch how you carry yourself. Yes, when I go around my family, and you know they'll say, oh, there she comes.
Amen.
There she comes, this holy or whatever. But when I get there, I know what to say. I know what to not to say. And you know what else? I could say some things to them to make them laugh. Because they tell me I should have been a comedian. But I love to make them laugh. I love to make people laugh. If you say, they say, if y'all want to laugh, go to Mr. Minister Virginia. If you want to cry, go to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm going to leave it y'all with this. We can be a Christian and still have fun. But watch the kind of fun you have.
Good fun.
I like it. Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It's all about that lifestyle.
Yep.
Yes.
Question number two, Minister Michelle.
Okay. So the next question is actually number topic three, and that one is, how do you live a single life as a Christian woman? Or how do you live a single life as a Christian woman? And then how do you know that you found the one? So we could just do the first one, is how do you live your life as a single woman? You know, where it's pleasing to God.
Okay, let's go down the line. Let's go down the line. Let's start with Minister Terry, Pastor Ann, and then we'll open the lines back up I'll leave Evangelist Virginia in. So let's go Minister Terry, Pastor Ann, and then Evangelist Virginia, then we'll open it back up for any other comments.
Okay. I want to answer on this one too.
Amen, amen.
Well,
this is a good one.
Well, of
here.
Course. Of course.
Yes. How do you live a life as a single Christian? I tell you, family, for me, it comes natural. I have Jesus time and me time. And I make him my priority. Ooh, priority in my life. Young women, if you are looking for someone, don't look. Women shouldn't look. Because the Heavenly Father told us he will send you someone when a man finds a wife. So I think how do you live a life as a single Christian woman? You live it. You live it for Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. And I have to be truthful. I had it wrong because I didn't know. But that's what's wrong. We have to get people to read his word because we'll perish for lack of knowledge. And for the younger women, if you're single, seek him first. Yes, yeah, so I tell you, living a Christian life as a single person, it becomes easy because you follow the word of God and you won't make the bad choices. When you make the right decision to follow his word, you'll be, it'll add so much to your life, I tell you. Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, I'm
Amen.
Out.
Praise God.
Praise
God.
Pastor Ann, what do you say? How do you live a single life?
I'm newly married. So I just, one of the main things was dedicate my life to God and making sure that I put him first. And to stop, for the people that are looking, if you're a woman, stop looking. Stop looking,
Amen.
Get good focus, get in your word, pray, get focused on being involved in your church and being in position and doing what the Lord wants you to do. And when all of that get in line, then he'll show up. Because when my husband showed up at first, I was like, look, I ain't got time for you, sir. I'm trying to go to church. But the thing that caught my attention was when he first initially spoke to me, I didn't even know that my husband was a pastor. And my first thing that I told him was, look, I'm on my way. I got to go to church for New Year's Eve. What are you talking about? Have a conversation with you for what? I got to be at church. I got to be in position.
What was his reaction, Pastor Ann? What was his reaction? What was his reaction?
She just laughed. Because I caught myself,
all right, Pastor.
The way I caught my myself I was getting ready to go off on a brother and tell him about you know how we're getting in that position, like what you want.
Right.
And you get in that position where you're getting ready to tell him something. Look, you ought to be on your way to church too, sir. I did not know he had already beat me to church. But
I
stopped looking. And then the thing that when I, how I knew is when I told him what my commitments were, that he was like, you know, he agreed. He did not try to distract me from anything that I had going on at my church home. He supported me in that and encouraged me. And
that's awesome.
For that, I was like, wow. Because even at my church that I was from, that I was attending here in Madison, some men want you to sit down.
That's true. Even out here in California.
They want you to sit down and not do what the Lord called you to do, just to be cute and sit there and don't you say nothing.
Speak on it.
But I had a heart for women's ministry, and he said, you know, keep going, keep doing what
Praise
the
God.
Lord told you to do.
Praise God. All right, Pastor Thomas, kudos to you. That's awesome, awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, Evangelist Valentine, what do you? How do you answer this? I know you're living right now life as a Christian woman. So I know you got some good nuggets for us on tonight. How do you live as a single life? How do you live single and as a Christian woman, Evangelist
well,
Valentine?
Well, you know what, Minister Michelle.
Yes, ma'am.
You can live a life single. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I would like to say this. First, love God first. Love God first.
Yep, that's important. Absolutely.
Love God first. And you love him back. Love God first. And you love him back. And wait on God to send you a mate. But I can tell you this, if you desire, you're a woman and you're single and you desire a mate, you can ask God. You can tell God, rather, what you expect in your mate. You want a tall, light-skinned, handsome, and can cherish you, love you, and take care of you? Or if you want a tall, dark, and handsome, and can afford to take care of you, not just take you to McDonald's.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And that's wrong, McDonald's, but you don't want them just to only take you to McDonald's, right?
Yeah. You don't want nobody just to take you to McDonald's. You might want to go to
I hear you. That's right. Amen.
You know what I'm saying? But you can tell God what you expect in your mate. If you want the man short, handsome or whatever. I was married to a short man. Let me tell y'all this. I was married to a short man. And a short man packed his way by being short. That's
right.
How he packed his way. A short man is something he packs his way by being short.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you this. You can ask God. If you desire a mate, ask him and tell him what you desire in that mate. I would like him to be handsome, tall, nice looking, light skin.
So you saying
dark skin,
you saying you gotta be specific. You gotta be specific.
Specific for what you listen to me. Oh yes, Jesus. You must. You got to be specific in what you're asking God for. And one more thing. The Bible says the man, when the man finds a woman, he make her his wife. When a man finds a woman, he finds a good thing. But then we as single women, we can go places and put ourselves somewhere out there, go to a nice restaurant or somewhere, and then that man will find you because you got to go where he can find you.
Well, that's a
did
good
y'all
point.
Get that?
Yes, I did. That's an excellent point. Excellent, excellent.
Go to your beautiful, beautiful place where you know the men are And some man out there, he going to see you. He going to find you. Because you put yourself out there where he is.
Amen. That's good. That's good, Evangelist Valentine. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
You're welcome.
Amen. And I just want to add to it that is, how do you live as a single, as a Christian woman? I will say first, I agree with everyone. The only thing I want to add is that you have to learn how to live your life to the fullest, either if you're single or if you're married. And for a married woman, speaking from my perspective, see, it's easy to lose yourself in a marriage. It's easy to lose yourself in raising the kids. And many women, married women, they experience what's known as the disappearing act. The disappearing act. That's when you lose your own identity as an individual. Yes, you let go of your own passions, your own hobbies, free time for yourself, because you get absorbed into the marriage. And if you have children, you get absorbed into motherhood. And it's not really a conscious decision. It just happens. It's just something that happens as you start to put everyone's needs above your own. So I just want to say it's so important not to do this disappearing act, but to always find time for yourself. You got to take care of yourself first before you can take care of your spouse, before you can take care of your children, and before you can take care of your home. So in singlehood, learn to make yourself happy, because it truly comes from within. Don't expect your spouse to make you happy, but what it is when you come to marriage, it should be two happy people come together, and now we can both enjoy happy times together. Amen? So that's two happy people coming together into a marriage, and now we enjoy happy times together. But if you come into a marriage expecting the other person to make you happy, you're going to be unhappy. So already come happy, already come, you know, making yourself happy, knowing who you are, putting yourself first. Are you going to use the singlehood time as a time to get to know yourself, spoil yourself, pamper yourself, learn to know what you like, what you don't like, know what it is you're looking for, and be specific when you're praying for that mate? And that's what I want to add.
Amen.
Amen.
You know
Amen.
What, beautiful
Amen.
Sister?
Yes.
I see the marriage counselor right here. I'm listening to you. I mean, you know, when he
Praise
sends
God.
One, I don't know who to come to. Praise God, Michelle.
Praise
I tell you. Praise God.
God is good. He's good. He's good. You know, some of these things you don't
Amen.
Learn. I've been married almost 30 years. You know, my mother, she put everybody first. So that's what I thought you're supposed to do. You put everybody
yes.
first, and then you take care of yourself. But that's not how you do it. You put yourself first.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean that you're being selfish. It doesn't mean you don't care about anybody else. But I have to be rested. I have to be healthy. I have to be happy so
that's
I can give
right.
that all to you. But if you take it
Amen.
All from me, then I don't have anything else to give you. So that's how you do it. You got to replenish yourself. You got to be rejuvenated. All those things that you could be the best that you can be, and then I can give you my best. So that's how you
amen.
Do it.
Speak
amen. Praise God. Amen, amen. God is good.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mr.
And
Carolyn.
So then the other part. Oh, come on
my
in,
bad.
Mr.
My bad.
No, bring her in. Absolutely. Come on
Mr.
in.
Mr. Carolyn, did you have anything? Well, I can speak on this because I've been single for a long time. I'm going to tell you what made it for me.
Speak on it. Speak on it, man.
Not putting myself first and not even putting God first. Putting God all. That's how
Ooh,
I
geez.
Make it.
That's
how
good.
I make it. Not him first. God is all. That's the only way I can survive this until I find what I know. What I know what God has for me. But in this season, it's all God. And that's not being
awesome.
Too churchy. Y'all know me. That's not being too,
well,
I am radical. That's not being too, oh, yes, I am. I am over the top. That's not being too, well, whatever. That's what makes it for me to survive this walk that I'm going through is that it's all God.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen. All God.
Mr. Carroll.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, I kind of done it the backwards way. I was one of the ones that always put myself last and the man first, and I guess that's I ended up in domestic abuse case. I was a domestic abuse case. Not once, twice, three times, but maybe four or five. And it wasn't until recently this year when I start taking a stand and going to the Word and putting myself first and standing ground, and even more so since I've been on the line with you all, that I've been standing strong and letting my husband know. Like before I mentioned where I got off the phone with the ministers that was helping me go through something to talk to my husband, even though I knew where he was. He couldn't go nowhere. I knew he could call back. And so many times I've answered the phone and stepped out of church to receive a call. And then I told my husband one day, I said, you know, I said, I do a lot. I step out of church. And he mentioned it. He said, I know. I used to trip off of that. He was like, you know, you cared that much. I was like, yeah, I cared about something that, you know, I put it before the Lord. And maybe that's why things were going all bad, because the word says
right.
God is a jealous God. And you're supposed to put him first. And I was putting man first. But when I flipped the script, things started getting better. And even
Amen.
With the relationship, when I started saying, you know, what I felt needed or how I wasn't going to be talked to or, you know, but at the end of the day, it wasn't the man. I couldn't change him. I had to change myself in the way that I was doing things. And then as I changed myself, I began to see the change in the marriage. And it was all because I started standing on the word of God. And then for so long, for a while, you guys were my strength. I was looking forward to jumping on the prayer line. Sometimes it might be 11 o'clock in the daytime. I'm waiting till 6 o'clock at night, you know. So, I done it backwards. But I'm grateful for this ministry, and I've learned how to turn things around.
Amen. That's excellent, Mr. Carolyn. And guess what? You're not the only one. There's so many women that have done exactly what you just mentioned, and some people are still in the situation as well. But I just thank you for being transparent and speaking on it, because people need to hear, you know, the real talk and what's 100. And I think you just blessed somebody, and I know that you helped somebody as well. God bless you.
Oh, my God.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Amen.
First place. Anybody else want to comment off of this, though? We still have all of you guys on there, Pastor Ann, Minister Terry, Evangelist Virginia. Before you have one more question, don't you?
Yes, I have one more question.
Okay, question number four.
Okay, question number four. And also, I believe Dr. Shannon's on the line as well, and this was her question. And so she's pressed one, so we can bring her in as well, and we all give our opinions
no,
on
no,
it.
No, she has T-Mobile because she's on our other line, but her line is open.
Okay.
Say hi. You'll hear.
Okay, awesome.
Hi, I'm here.
Okay, hi, Christiana. God bless
hi.
You. Hi. Okay, we're going to do your question right now. So topic number four is, this is for the married women, and even if you are single, you probably still can relate to it, but the question is, how do married women maintain their assertiveness, that's being assertive, without offending their husbands? How do married women maintain being assertive, having your opinion, saying what you want to say, without offending your husband? How do we do this, women? So we can start with Pastor Ann. Pastor Ann on this one.
Go ahead to Minister Terry.
Okay, Minister Terry.
Yes, I'm here, but you know, family, I have never jumped a broom. It's not in the will
okay.
of God as of this point, but I say, you know, first, if a woman was married
this
and being
question,
assertive. Oh, yeah,
if she's
married.
This question is like for a collaboration. You should have been asking the men this question.
She has to tame that assertiveness.
We can still bring it to the collaboration, but it was a good, the women wanted to speak on this tonight. They wanted to hear all the different women perspectives, but we can still redo it on the collaboration because we can get more opinions. I think it'll be good, Pastor E.
Amen. Amen. But
oh,
I think,
you know, I'm taking notes and drawing and making my little plan for next week. I got you.
Yeah. But
Minister
Michelle, with that the assertiveness, I just think the assertiveness it's kept in order if we're staying in God's word and His order, because He has said God, man, women, and children. So I believe if we stay in that order, that assertiveness will fall in place. And like I said, I've never jumped the broom, so I know my mom and dad would tell me, marriages don't work. You have to make them work. They don't work out on their own. You have to make a marriage work. And they were married for many years, too, so I praise God for that. God bless you guys.
Hey. God bless you. Well, amen. I would say as a married woman, I kind of relate, and I know what this question, you know, where it's coming from. And being assertive, it's like men are attracted to the woman that's assertive. They are attracted to us. I'm assertive. Right. I'm very assertive. I'm very opinionated, and I like to get my point across as well. So I think sometimes it can come across as being too assertive, or it may come across as being disrespectful when it's really just me getting my point across. But I think it comes down to just mutual respect. If the husband is really respecting his wife's opinion, respecting her individuality, then I think that will help in the communication. And we know that mutual respect goes a long way. And normally when this becomes a problem, really, is when we have an argument. Usually when you have an argument is usually mm-hmm. when we're in a disagreement. And then I think that's when the man feels like, oh, now your assertiveness, your tongue is being backlashing me, you being disrespectful, you know, whatever. But in an argument, both people are being disrespectful. You know, in an argument, all the things that we know that we shouldn't do, all that's thrown out the door. We just throw it out with the bathtub water, okay? Because now it's like, hey, you trying to get me, I'm trying to get you. We going at it. It's war up in here, okay? So, one man arguing and everybody just said they
let
stuff.
Us pray.
Yeah, after we didn't all say that, that's what we had to say, that we both need to repent. We both need to apologize. We both need to go to the throne of God. And then we need to not let neither one of us go to sleep upset. Okay, and that's really it. But we know that if we go to the Word of God, that 1 Peter 3:7 says that husbands are to be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs of you, the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. In the same way, husbands must give respect to their wives. But then we know, he goes on further to say that wives must submit to our husbands as we do the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, also the wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, submission is a two-way street. It doesn't mean that the men are to dictate over us, or they're supposed to, you know, go into this whole dictatorship thing, but they are the head of the household. But when they submit to God, we submit to them, and everything is in perfect harmony. And when they love us the way they love their bodies and the way Christ loved the church, then everything just works out the way it's supposed to work out, and everything flows great and in harmony. But you're going to have arguments. So whoever, you know, people say, oh, you know, this is what the Word of God says and blah, blah, blah. And yes, we are supposed to do exactly what the Word of God says, but it doesn't tell us what we're supposed to do when we have arguments. And we're going to have arguments, you know. And so when we have these arguments, how do we handle it? So when we have an argument, that's not a time. You know, we know when we get disrespectful. We know when we take off them gloves and we start trying to go for the jugular, you know, and saying your mama. And, you know, what about your
husband? Women speaking now tonight being heard. Oh, y'all
and
be on
heard.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all on one tonight. Oh, my God. Record breaking.
Oh, yes. Praise God.
Women, we know when we're going too far.
Real talk,
sister. We know when we try to hurt the man and cut him up, and, you know, to the white meat. We know when we didn't did that, you know, and so we have to pray about it, ask the Lord to remove that and to help us in that area, and men know what they're doing to get us to that point. Some men like to get you to that point, you know, and so.
Well, that's why we manning up. That's why we manning up, and we learn instead of standing there fighting, go turn on some worship music and get on my face and start praying. You ain't gonna be mad at me long, cause I'm gonna go to the Father. I'm gonna use all of the gifts. I'm gonna blast that worship song.
I like that too, Pastor E.
Get on my face and just be slobbering to the Lord. You ain't no way you gonna be able to be mad at me.
That's like,
I will get the last word, because I'm going to go tell Jesus.
I'm going to tell Jesus on you. Uh-huh. Come on.
And
come
you
on
don't want me, then get me in order.
Get it,
I'm a blast.
If Jesus didn't know what was going to get me in order, what I should or shouldn't have said, then I find that after I done prayed about it and shut up, because sometimes, you know, I'm one of those persons if I want the last word, sometimes I have to pray for myself.
Ooh.
Lord, help me.
The last word.
But I love that if I could just be quiet and
you know, just let things go. Then a lot of times, my husband's pretty nice and understandable, you know. And if I can just hush and just let it go, pray about it. And sometimes it's just giving that person a chance, and you take a, you know, both of y'all separate for a minute and give each other a chance to think through and go pray separately. Then, you know, when you get together, some either you're going to agree to disagree or get on one accord. And, it, you know, I've learned sometimes that we are going to have a different opinion. We're not going to always agree on different things. He may see it one way, I see it another way. But at the end of the day, we've decided, even if we disagree, we're not going to let that come in between our marriage.
Mm. Well, you know, I'm so glad you triggered that, because my response to the question, how does an assertive woman, well, ask that question again so I have it exactly right, because I got an answer for you, and I want to share
it. You got it. How do maintain their assertiveness without offending their husband? So how do we maintain?
That's right, without offending their husband. See, that's the most important about team. See, even though there's positions of head and this, let's get out of that. that's been abused. But let's get to the point where when you're building team, it's just not me leading you, it's me building you. And watch this, it's not just you following me, but also building me. See, a team builds each other. That now, if you're assertive and you see I'm weak in an area, you help me build, as well as when I see you weak in an area, I help you build. So there's no differential in the relationship. You see equality because we're helping each other to build. So you can't be assertive because I built you to be assertive because you built me to be assertive so we can be in agreement. And we got to stop arguing. We are going to disagree, but we have to stop arguing in relationships, because believe me or not, and you know it, and I know it's ringing up, one of them voices way back in the back of your head, it doesn't just go away. And even though we take those words back, words hurt worse than stones. You hit me in the head with a stone, I'm a heel. Call me something, I probably will not like you anymore. And we have to stop speaking to each other that way. And that's why we build team, because we're building relationship. Oh my God, because hey, what we say, I cannot relate to you until I learn to relate to God. And when I have a relationship, a personal relationship with God, now I can communicate with you, and I know it's not for you to approve, but for God to approve. And that's building relationships. I'm not married, but I'm building a book that I pray I don't make the mistakes I made before, that I did the stuff that was about me and my and this, but it's about God building relationships and building each other up. I cannot just let you sit there in your puddle when I'm on the mountaintop, or let you sit in an area where you don't seem happy. See, and I know this is my little mini sermon in here, but building you up means I got to find what makes you happy, not what makes me happy. And then you building me up, it's you finding what makes me happy and not yourself. And that's what relationships get up, because we always trying to push onto others what we project instead of finding out what they really want.
Amen.
What really
that's
makes
good.
Them
that's
click.
Good.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What makes them get up in the morning and say, "Ooh, that's my old, that's mine. I can't wait to come back home today." Because of the relationship building, of building each other up. That's the answer to that question. That's how you be assertive without offending. You assert together. You grow together. Relationship has to stop being just role playing. It has to be relationship playing. And I'm going to stop there. Pastor Dwayne, I know you. I got him on mute. I know he over there spinning in his chair. Pastor Dwayne, come on in.
Well, I mean, just to piggyback off that, what you were saying, no, I'm hearing it in so many ways. First of all, we come together as one. Because you won't call yourself stupid. Do you call yourself ugly? Do you wake up in the morning and say you no good? Do you wake up in the morning and call yourself all kind of names? Because if you call yourself all kind of names, then that means you haven't been immature. You haven't grown up, because see, you become one. If you become one, I don't hear nobody walking down the street calling themselves all kind of names. You don't do that. So if you don't do that to yourself and you become one, so the marriage becomes one, it doesn't become two things. I know it's two persons, two different. I know it's two personalities, but the personalities become one because he says you become one. You don't become two, you become one. Adam and Eve became one, one flesh. So I'm getting this as I'm walking.
Yeah, get ready, Christian.
Saying,
y'all got to tell me that, Shannon, get ready.
I heard the Lord saying that, you know, he never once argued with himself. Adam didn't argue with himself. Adam blamed himself. But I hear he's saying that, you know, to keep a stable marriage, you know, we all go through our ups and downs. But if we come together as one and we say, I do, to death do us part, then we no longer talk the way we used to talk. We don't talk to each other like that. I mean, if I hurt her feelings, I hurt my feelings. If I disrespect her, I disrespect me. Because, see, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. You know, putting in all understanding, being truthful here. I'm looking at, because you say we do things better now. Now we know how to do things better than what we used to
now.
Do. Now we know how to do better. Now we're not going to talk to ourselves like that. Now we're not going to degrade ourselves. You don't degrade yourself. No, you look at yourself as a higher standard. So if you look at yourself as a higher standard, then I think you should look at your marriage as a higher standard. You know, I mean, you should look at your other partner because, like I said, y'all become one. So if you're looking at yourself, you know, you make sure you look good every morning you get up. You make sure you smell good. You make sure your hair combed. You make sure your shoes look right. You make sure your socks match. You make sure your outfit
matches.
All
right,
So that's the
relationship.
Come on
everything
now. Come on.
Match.
Minister Michelle, you do have another
everything
caller.
Everything got to match. So you got to.
Okay, awesome. Go ahead, man.
You know, everything got to match. So that's my understanding, Father. How you can keep a happy marriage, how you can not offend your husband. Because every time you get up, you know, you don't go outside with looking all messed up. No, before you step outside in the world, you're going to make sure if you wear a jogging suit, your shoes going to match your jogging suit, your shirt going to match. You know, you're going to make sure you brush your teeth. You're going to make sure you comb your hair. And that's how the relationship goes, man. We become one. So if you become one, one is not going to go outside looking all bad. No, you gonna check yourself before you get up out, before you go anywhere, cause you know how we do. We look in the mirror, we shave, we comb our hair, we brush our teeth, and we say to ourselves, "Today I'm blessed." Why? Because I got up in the Lord. But that's how we become one, man. That's how it is in one thing. So that's my understanding.
We're gonna bring you back toward the end. Come on, man. I'm gonna get us men up out of here because this is a ladies' discussion. But y'all got me all up in it. Go ahead, Minister Michelle. The line is open.
Okay, praise God. So we wanted to bring in Sister Shannon, who actually asked this question for the last question we had, which was question number 4. So if she could go ahead and speak on it, that would be good.
Okay, I think that I was listening, and I think that communication definitely is definitely important, and to watch how you communicate, that's definitely important. But I think when we're talking in regards to submission and how to be submissive, I think that between a husband and a wife, even when you get married, you have to kind of understand on both ends what being submissive means and kind of the hierarchy of how it's supposed to go, meaning that as wives, we're supposed to be submissive to our husbands as our husbands are also submissive to Jesus Christ because he's first and foremost. So I think once that hierarchy is kind of understood on both parts, then I think it's a little bit easier to be, I guess what you would say, quote unquote, submissive. Or you understand what I'm saying? It's easier to do that when the hierarchy is in order. If you have a husband that is serving God and you know that your husband is serving God, then you're okay to, you know, kind of bow down, so to speak, and be in agreement with what he's saying. So when I say, like, to be assertive, because I am very opinionated, and oftentimes I may come across to my husband as assertive, but I know just in listening and learning that I do have to trust his word because he's going to get whatever he's getting from the word of God.
That's awesome. And I think as long as we know as women that they are hearing from God, they are truly submissive to God and that they really are putting God first in their lives, you know, that we see that they are praying, that they are doing all the things they're supposed to do, and we know that they're respecting us, then I think it happens easily. I think when they get, what is it called, when we're not cooperating with it, what is the word I'm looking for? Like resistance, that's the word. When we get resistance, what they think
yeah.
resistance is because we know that you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and I'm not following
Wait,
nobody
mean,
that's not going the way they need to be going.
Did you mean
so,
rebellious? Did you mean rebellious?
That
is that, was that the word you were looking
no.
for? Oh, okay.
I really
All
wasn't.
Right.
I was so resistant.
I hope I made everybody
man,
smile on that one.
Look, since you're a man, you probably is, but that's probably the word you want to use, rebellious. So, yeah, when they think we're being rebellious, it's because we don't agree with what it is you're saying. Like, I think that even when you're being submissive to your husband, you have a right to disagree. And I think sometimes men see disagreement right. as rebellion, as being assertive,
mm-hmm.
as all these
Absolutely.
Things. Really not. It's not that. It's that I just don't agree. I have a right to
we
disagree.
Do.
You know?
We do. We just going to put it out there tonight. We going to keep it 100. We do. That's what we – and you guys do the same thing. It's the same thing, both sides. That's that rebellious spirit that both of us cast on each other because we're not doing what – we're doing it, but we're not doing it the way the other side said to do it.
Right.
So now we look rebellious.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I got it. But you know what?
Right,
we're working
right.
together to work things out. That's our slogan, our logo for the collaboration.
well, no. See, really if we could talk about this, if we could talk about more issues every night, it doesn't just have to be preaching, and it doesn't. We do a lot of different different subjects here on the network, but we got to talk more.
Right.
And talking more says, wait a minute, guys feel the same way we do, and if we feel the same way, it's easier to fix problems when you see how close we are on things. It's just not a hormonal thing. It's really we the same. But if we don't talk,
That's
you never
true.
Know. It's like, oh, they feel this way. They feel that way. And we're doing the same things. Oh, you know how they are.
Right.
You know
right.
what they going to do. You know, instead of communicating, this is helping. But at least it's helping my
right.
journal on communicating and building structure that I can follow God's word on building relationship to the utmost. So I'm being blessed.
I think it's helping everybody. It's helping all of us, Pastor. It is.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Yes, it is. Well, praise God.
Yes, it helped me.
Yes. So
oh, yes.
That was all of our topics. That's all the questions for tonight. That was all of the topics on tonight. I thank my panel for being part of this collaboration. I thank both Krishana and Wanda for presenting these awesome questions that got us all involved, God. But we can go back to any questions you want, if anything needs to be added, anybody didn't get an opportunity to really elaborate on something they really wanted to say, I'm definitely open to all that, Pastor E.
Amen. And I'm encouraging you guys, don't quit this. Come on, let's get a pool of questions that just are overflowing I can definitely back out and let the women do what you do. The spirit start flowing, and some things I do need to interject because
you, awesome.
Women, it's better for a woman to hear it from a man to say, no, you need to say no. No, you need to look out for you first and get a relationship with God. Don't follow somebody
Thank
trying
God.
To take you to church, but meet somebody that who is the church.
All
That's
right.
gonna catch up. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. No. But you guys keep. I want to encourage you. This is what Women Speak Now is all about. Is for you guys to get on here and talk and get some strategies together as us on Man Up. We talking offline. We're mentoring each other offline, and I'm seeing some changes in all my brothers because of us being able to be transparent. And we still are not nowhere where you guys are. Anyway, I ain't going there. But we're growing. But you guys have a avenue here to really get together and talk it out, especially from a younger lady's perspective. Let's go deeper. Let's get some high school young ladies. Let's get some young ladies in here that really need to hear this wisdom that I've heard tonight.
Praise God. I totally agree.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, you want to give everybody an opportunity to for a closing remark, and then you close us out?
Yes, absolutely. So we will begin with Minister Terry.
Amen. Praise God, family. I've enjoyed this all of these questions because, I'm putting some nuggets, but I like what Pastor E said too. God is his all. But I said, and Jesus and Mr. Michelle, I love your the me time. And then I love Evangelist Valentine when she said, be specific. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And then you guys were speaking about sometimes when the couples get into arguments. You know, when people get into arguments, the best thing is to do is just be quiet because it takes two to argue. If one person just be
right.
quiet, you know, and maybe we may have to take turns at it, but somebody has to be quiet. Praise God.
Amen.
God. That's it. God bless.
Amen. God bless. Pastor Ann, your closing remarks, please.
Thank the Lord. I would just like to say I enjoyed being on a panel. Thank you all for inviting me. My favorite question was when they said, can you be cool and still be a Christian? And, you know, I just want to, because I'm big on reaching, you know, wanting to reach people and not being inside the church, being outside of the church, reaching people, doing outreach. And, you know, my thing with that is, you know, just remember that when you see people, to show them the love of Christ, you know, don't lord over them or stand over them like you're so high and mighty and forget that you once was like them. And that's my thing that I try to walk out every day. Not to, you know, not to get big headed and be like, you know, I'm so saved I forgot where the Lord brung me from. I forgot that I was there. So it's easy, you know, that makes it easy for me to go back and reach and talk to somebody because I can remember when I was like that and wishing that I had somebody to come along that was, you know, cool, that would understand me, that would try to talk to me and not just judge me at point of finger, but just would sit there and listen and understand and then share the love of Christ with me.
Amen. That's awesome. Praise God. Thank you for that. Awesome, awesome. And we have Evangelist Valentine. You want to give us your closing remarks?
Minister Michelle, I would like to say this. I was mentioning that I call her First Lady Ann. If that's okay, Pastor Ann, I was mentioning that.
That's fine.
I love you, my sister. But anyway, with you and Pastor Dwayne, you all are married. Look, I am single. I am a single woman. But when I heard you all talk about marriage, and I listened to you all the other night, when you all preach, you preach nothing but the word. You all was a team. You all is a team. And if you get into an argument, guess what? We can agree and we can disagree. But then you should come back together and pray and talk to God about it. Yes, there are going to be some disagreements in all marriage. But just don't argue and fuss and cuss and want to pull each other's eyes out. Love each other. But first you need to love God and let God love back on you. And I want to say this to all the marriage couples out there. You know what? Marriage is a divine institution established by God. Did y'all get that?
Yes, praise God.
Uh-huh.
Marriage is a divine institution established by God. Jesus. Every married couple out there, yes, you're going to have your disagreement. You can agree and disagree. But I always use this word. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not lay your head on the pillow and go to sleep at night angry, mad. Do what God wants you to do. Go to each other and tell them you love them. Make up for that. Don't do it. Let me share this. I had a niece and her husband got into an argument one night. So she had come in at 5 a.m. in the morning. I need to share this. Somebody needs to hear this. And they got the argument when he came home. She threw the pillow and the blanket down to him in the den and said, you sleep on the couch. When she got up that morning to go to work, nobody needs to hear this. She didn't say, baby, I'm going to work. I'll see you later or nothing. She left him sitting on the couch with the remote in his hand. She happened to come home for something. He was still sitting on the couch with the remote in his hand, but he was dead.
My Lord.
He was dead. Don't go to bed angry. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't lay your head on that pillow and go to sleep and don't say, I'm sorry, forgive me. That's all I got to say. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's profound. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for sharing that, Evangelist Valentine.
You're welcome.
I wanted to ask Minister Carol. Thank you. God bless you. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
Something to think about. Yeah. That's, we have to really think about that. Not just be thinkers, but doers of the word. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Minister Carol, do you have any closing remarks? She's still with us, Cassie. Wanted to give her opportunity to have closing remarks if she had any. Minister Carol.
No, she's not with us.
Okay, all righty. Well, I'll do my closing remarks then. You want me to do mine now, Patsy?
Oh, yeah, take us out.
All right, well, amen. Well, I just want to thank everyone. I want to thank this awesome panel for coming together and having such a rich dialogue, such a productive dialogue for these. I just want to thank the two young ladies, sisters, Ken Shannon and both sister Wanda. And I know they both want to do this again, so I'm looking forward to the future of us coming back together and having some more topics just as good as these on tonight and having the same type of conversations. I know that it has blessed myself, and I know it's blessed others, and I just think it's going to continue to bless all those that listen to it in the archives as well. So I just thank them for these awesome questions, and I thank all of you for the awesome answers. Amen. I just want to say to continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand and that he loves you with a everlasting love. Now, unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, and be blessed.
Family, thank you for joining our daily broadcast. Join us weekly, Mondays, Motivational Monday with Coach Adams, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.